It got to the point where within about 90 minutes, I could get half that route done easily, no problem. Because you knew where things were. You got that experience that you needed. And the same is true here. When it comes from the doctrine of Christ and the Word of God and spending time in these things, the believer learns. Dear believer, it is vital for you in your walk with God to know more about Him. It's a benefit to your soul. Spend time in His Word. Spend time reading. Spend time in prayer. Spend time under the preaching of the Word of God.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. You've been listening to the congregational singing of Psalm 103. Welcome to our program today. This is Let the Bible Speak, and I'm Andrew Fitton, and we trust the Lord will bless you richly through the ministry of His Word. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale for part one of the message entitled Living by Faith in the Fullness of the Spirit. May the Lord bless the preaching of His Word.
Some weeks ago, we commenced a series on what could be described as one of the most important subjects in life, namely that of a new beginning, or to explain it a little bit more, how to understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how to understand what that gospel is about, who that gospel is for, and what that gospel does to the lives of those who believe. And we need to understand that, and we ought not to think otherwise. The gospel of Christ, as revealed in the Scriptures, is the most vital subject that any person in this world can consider. And at the foundation of it all is the existence of God and His creation of the world and His creation of mankind. As we've considered together so far, we saw how Adam and Eve fell and sinned against God, and how sin came into the world, and how all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And tainted by sin, there is no escape. There is no salvation. There is no reconciliation between man and God because of sin. But we're reminded of what the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has accomplished for us, in that He died for us, that He shed His blood for His people, not through works, but through faith in Christ alone is how we are saved. And we are reminded of that in Ephesians chapter 2, where the apostle reminds those Ephesian believers of the salvation that they have in Christ. And in verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And that is an important and foundational doctrine, that salvation is not through us, it's not through our families or who we are connected with, but it is simply through what Christ has done for us. We consider then being new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ, that change, that complete change that we have experienced through Christ. And we come to the next section this evening, living the Christian life. And that is an interesting question. How do we live as Christians? When we look at this world, we see that Christians live in different ways. Christians worship in different ways. And that is not me rubber stamping all the forms of Christian worship and all the forms of which Christians live, but it's just an acknowledgement that there are different views and opinions. And of course, there is a biblical perspective on this that as a church we hold to, and that will come out as we consider these things. But how do we live as a Christian? And we're reminded in Acts chapter 2 of the great change that came upon those who were converted at the day of Pentecost. There was real salvation. There was true salvation. Peter stood up and he preached. The Spirit of God came down upon the apostles. And they spake in the tongues of those who heard. And we find that that great question was asked. Verse 37, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Repent. They were to repent. They were to turn from sin. There was to be a new beginning within their hearts. And as we've moved through this series, I think it is exceedingly clear that there cannot be a new beginning, and there cannot be a change within your life, and there cannot be a fleeing from sin unto salvation without repenting from that sin and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing Him as your own and personal Savior. For the Word of God is exceedingly clear that salvation is through Christ alone. And so we find here in Acts chapter 2 the fullness of the Spirit. They lived, and they lived in light of the Spirit. Though we do not see specifically the work of the Spirit here, we see the signs and we see the fruit of the Spirit. There is evidence within the lives of these individuals that they are saved. If we were to take someone from this congregation tonight And we could look at their life prior to their conversion and after their conversion. We would expect to see a change. We would expect to see a change. We would see vileness and corruption and sin, the language of the world and the actions of the world. But after conversion, with the Spirit of God working and sanctifying, there is a change within their hearts. A change that is all of God and all of the Spirit. There is an evidence. And we can perhaps see the outworking of Acts chapter 2 in their life. There was baptism and the steadfastness in doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers and moving on. There was unity and gladness and the praise of God. All evidences that there was faith found within the lives of these individuals. The Spirit of God worked within their heart, and we need the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18 says, for us to be filled continually with the Spirit. We also live by faith. The Christian life is a life of faith whereby we live for the Savior. We have faith with Him. The Apostle said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And that brings us into our topic this evening. Taking those two thoughts, bringing them together, living by faith in the fullness of the Spirit. Living by faith in the fullness of the Spirit. For what we see in Acts chapter 2 is living by faith. And that cannot be accomplished without the fullness of the Spirit within our lives. And I want you to see, first of all, in Acts chapter 2, that one of these marks is steadfastness in the truth. The church is the redeemed people of God. There were new converts here, and these were marks that they were saved and truly converted to Christ. And there was steadfastness in the truth, or steadfastness in doctrine. We live in a day and a generation in which people do not want to know anything about doctrine. They don't see the need for doctrine. They don't want to be taught. As long as they know they're saved. And therefore, if the gospel is true and the Bible is true and hell awaits the sinner, as long as they know, well, I have a faith in God, I've asked Him to forgive my sins, all is well. But then doctrine and truth and living for Christ, I don't need any of that. I just need to know. It's like playing the game of Monopoly. And you get the get out of jail free card. Maybe you have two of them. And you know that if you land in that space, go to jail. We used to play, I think if you threw three doubles in a row, you went to jail. I'm not sure whether that's a house rule or a real rule. I haven't played Monopoly for a little while. But you knew that if you hit that space, go to jail, well, it wasn't going to cost you any money. You had that get out of jail free. And it is sad to say that there are those within the professing Christian church, and they view salvation, and they view their faith in Christ as the product of a prayer by which they prayed for salvation, and in their mind it is merely just get out of jail. Just get out of hell. Just get out of judgment. Living for Christ, glorifying Christ, doing what the church did here in Acts chapter 2 is almost foreign to them. They'll show up from time to time. They'll come to church from time to time. But living for Christ in the way that we have here is foreign. It's a strange thing. But doctrine is theology. And we see in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And what is theology? If we break down that word, we have the word ology, or that part of it. That word that comes from logos, which means word. And so in the word theology, there's something here about words. Words about what? Words about theos. That's where we get the first part of that word from, theology. Theos. Theos and logos, There's words about God. And so theology, the meaning of it is very simple. Words about God. Doctrine about God. Truths about God. And that is something that we need to understand when we come to the Word of God. We're dealing with doctrine. We're dealing with words about God. And dear believer, if you've been truly saved and redeemed, there should be that desire in your life to know something more about the Lord. We've often perhaps referred to this as a husband and a wife, knowing more and more about each other as the days go by and the years go by. If you were to ask me a question 4 years ago about my wife or my wife-to-be, I might not have known the answer. If you'd asked me what her favorite color is, I think that's pretty easy. But if you'd asked me something else, maybe I wouldn't be too sure about that. 4 years later, well, I probably should know by now. Why? Because we grow together. We learn more about each other. If I was going to pick up food, I know what food she likes specifically. We know so much more. Why is that? Because we live together. We spend our days together. We go places together. And you get to know the other individual. Sometimes in relationships, you get to know the other individual and you realize, well, I don't quite like this individual. And so that relationship has ended long before marriage. But normally in marriage, you grow and you learn from one another. You grow in love for the person you're married to. You grow in knowledge. And the same is true when it comes to our relationship with Christ. He saved us and redeemed us. We owe him everything. And we're to continue in his doctrine. We're to know more and more about him as the days go by. Sadly, doctrine is viewed as something that is unnecessary, but dear believer, this is a mark of the church we have here in Acts chapter 2. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They knew it. They were taught it. They took it in. They believed it. They wanted to know more and more about the truths of the gospel of Christ. And this doctrine is a remarkable thing because understanding doctrine, understanding truth came from their salvation. It was the next step, as it were. As a child takes milk, at some stage that child will mature and they will take solid food. And that maturing will continue until the day that they will now eat a steak. There's a progression that is expected. And as the believer grows in doctrine, they may know nothing about Christ, and as they lean on him and trust in him for salvation, they grow. It is something that flows from being a Christian, something that is expected. The Word of God is something that edifies us. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 20. We read it at the start of the service tonight, and verse 32. And we're going to come to verse 32 on Wednesday evening. That verse says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." And there's something special about this word of his grace. It is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. There's edification, building up. The people of God here are to be built up in their faith. That is something that is expected. And so, dear believer, tonight, when we consider Christian living, part of your Christian living is growing in the knowledge of Christ. That is vital. It is something that is a benefit. As the church developed here, they knew their doctrine. Fear came upon every soul. As they learned their doctrine, they understood the importance of worship. They understood what Christ had done more and more. As they came and as they came to the table of the Lord, they knew more and more and more intimately what Christ had accomplished for them. We come to the next chapter in A New Beginning, and it deals with problems. How do we face problems as Christians? One of the ways in which we can prepare ourselves to deal with problems is to be steadfast in doctrine, to know what the Word of God teaches. To know what the Word of God teaches. Imagine someone who comes in and they're a Christian and they're in absolute panic and they're crying and they don't know what to do and something has happened in their life and they have no idea how to approach it or how to deal with this problem. And coming at it from the very simple foundation, well, they're reminded, you're a Christian. You have a Heavenly Father. You have a God to whom you can pray. You have the Word of God that you can read and encourage your heart. And those promises in the Word of God about the Savior being with you and casting your cares at His feet, those things can be applied to this problem. Imagine they never heard those things. All they knew was resting upon Christ for salvation. And they never knew the comforts and the blessings. They didn't know that God was able in their trial to help them. Maybe they're facing the end of their life and they don't fully understand what will take place in eternity. The Word of God has the answers. The Word of God is the comfort. The Word of God has that balm for our souls to encourage us and help us and comfort us. But if the truth of God and the apostles' doctrine is set aside, we won't understand those things. We won't know what to do. I remember coming to Canada, getting a job at Canada Post. I had a little idea of what the work involved. I'd worked for Royal Mail, but in Royal Mail, your steering wheel was on the right side of the vehicle, and you drove on the right, the left side of the right side of the road. You would know it as the left side of the road, not the right side of the road. But you drove on the left, the steering wheel was on the right. And there's all the various different rules and how things were done and businesses and tower blocks and all sorts of things. My experience was going from door to door, plenty of street parking. You got your mail, you walked. You went back to the vehicle, you got your mail, you walked. Canada Post, it was all over the place. Sometimes it was businesses and tower blocks and mailboxes, and you had to find where in the building the mailboxes were. Sometimes it was on the fourth floor or in the basement, and you could spend quite a while trying to find where everything was. But once you got into it and you got the experience and the knowledge and you understood a few routes and understood where things were and how things worked, it made it much easier to do some of the more difficult routes. And once you did those more difficult routes, what happened with the experience? It was easy. I remember my very first shift of my own. They put me on a business route. The supervisor came back from vacation, I think a week later, and was absolutely horrified. A new start had been put on an entire full business route. And not only that, they were an immigrant who didn't really have any experience driving their trucks or anything like that whatsoever. And the very first night, I went in at 12 in the afternoon. I worked till about 8. I got probably about half the route done. I was trying to find places. I hadn't a clue. And it got to the point where within about 90 minutes, I could get half that route done. Easily, no problem. Because you knew where things were. You got that experience that you needed. And the same is true here. When it comes from the doctrine of Christ and the Word of God and spending time in these things, the believer learns. Dear believer, it is vital for you in your walk with God to know more about Him. It's a benefit to your soul. Spend time in His Word. Spend time reading. Spend time in prayer. Spend time under the preaching of the Word of God.
Today's Spurgeon devotional is taken from Job chapter 40, verse 4. Behold, I am vile. One cheering word, poor lost sinner, for thee. You think you must not come to God because you are vile? Now there is not a saint living on earth but has been made to feel that he is vile. If Job and Isaiah and Paul were all obliged to say, I am vile, oh, poor sinner, wilt thou be ashamed to join in the same confession? If divine grace does not eradicate all sin from the believer, how dost thou hope to do it thyself? And if God loves his people while they are yet vile, dost thou think thy vileness will prevent his loving thee? Believe on Jesus, thou outcast of the world's society. Jesus calls thee, and such as thou art. Not the righteous, not the righteous, sinners, Jesus came to call. Even now say, thou hast died for sinners. I am a sinner, Lord Jesus. Sprinkle thy blood on me. If thou wilt confess thy sin, thou shalt find pardon. If now, with all thy heart, thou wilt say, I am vile, wash me, thou shalt be washed now. If the Holy Spirit shall enable thee from thy heart to cry, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Thou shalt rise from reading this morning's portion with all thy sins pardoned, and though thou didst wake this morning with every sin that man hath ever committed on thy head, thou shalt rest tonight, accepted in the Beloved. Though once degraded with the rags of sin, thou shalt be adorned with a robe of righteousness, and appear white as the angels are. For now, mark it, now is the accepted time. If thou believest on him who justifieth the ungodly, thou art saved. Oh, may the Holy Spirit give thee saving faith in him who receives the vilest. We come to the end of our program today. We thank you for joining with us. This is Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we trust that you will have a blessed, and we trust that the Word of God has richly blessed you. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.